This week on the Glass Cannon Podcast.
The cruel world, Galerius.
When a holy shrine is desecrated by vile beasts.
You kill my monsters, I kill you!
The heroes must keep their cool.
Don't you worry, no. I've got it all under control. All part of the plan.
Collect the spoils of war.
Bottle cap! No, I'm not gonna do it!
Solve a mystery.
There are runes written in a circular motion all around the disc.
And descend.
A flight of narrow and precariously steep stairs descending into a dark shaft that plummets to an unknown depth within the earth. Remember, this is the last episode we had Lexington. Fucking magical wolf.
The adventure continues now.
Hello friends, old and new, far flung as you may be, welcome to the newest episode of the Glass Cannon Podcast. It's a pleasure to make your company. I'm Nestor Coin. Coin by name, coin by nature, as my old dad used to say.
It's me, Skid. Welcome. I am so excited about this episode and the chance to play a Slayer. I was so sad when Galabras died, but what happened to him, but I was also thrilled because I had this character waiting in the wings. They're such a cool... I've never played a hybrid class before. They're hybrid between a ranger and a rogue, and they're so deadly, and they have so many fun abilities, some of which I've still neglected to use yet, but I hope to soon. I can't wait. So won't you join us as the party descend a web-choked stair into the darkness of a dwarven tomb? Episode 74, Working the Shaft.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that what a party is supposed to look like? Yeah. Guys, that is, handle that!
Oh, man, I've been smiling ear to ear for days.
That is a result of having an actually well-balanced, combat-focused party. You never had ever.
You mean a glass cannon party?
Yeah.
You're not getting a bottle cap for that. Stop fishing.
Damn it!
Practicing obvious puns.
That was good. Yeah. See, Joe, you think that every party needs a cleric. I don't think it's true.
Well,
they just drag you down.
Well, we haven't incurred any damage.
We have
yet.
A sample size of one.
I think you guys are going to be just fine. At least in the game that I enjoy playing. So that was all in round one. I still have my initiative tracker. I had to keep it from getting smudged.
By your cats?
It went Nestor surprise round, then Nestor, Della Baron Willamette, and all Umlo Ingrahild, and the Ettercaps, and the male spiders were all killed, and their initiative came afterwards.
Umlo and Ingrahild were killed?
They were killed?
Not Umlo and Ingrahild. No, that was just their horses. But right after Willamette was this female giant black widow spider. And when I say giant, it is a large creature. So this is like something out of a myth, just giant black widow.
It's like Shiloh.
Drops.
Terrifying.
And what I told you guys off the air is in the middle of that fight, or when it lasted all of 6 seconds, the spider started moving through the web around the obelisk and then just plunged out on its turn. And it landed right next to...
Della.
Dancing Della. Lil Deputy.
Oh, man.
So,
is this round two then? Or is this still round?
This is still round one.
Oh, my God.
So, luckily, Umlo and Ingrahild are going to be able to jump in and help out after Della gets horribly poisoned.
Is that the first time we've only provided three quarters of a round of action on an episode?
It's possible.
Yeah, I think so.
That's true. Good call.
Mm. Bottle cap.
Yeah, right.
Stop it. All right, Della, what do you think? I'm thinking it's going to be a natural 20.
He's holding up the neon green die.
There she is. There's the 20.
Roll it in front.
I put too much into it now, so it's not going to happen. But I really was excited to play, have the spider come out when you guys would have multiple focuses, like on the Ettercaps and the spiders. But
It didn't work out that way. So I'm just going to hopefully hurt Della bad.
That's what he dreams. That's what he thinks about when he goes to sleep.
If not so shockingly, goes to bite Della. 19 to hit.
19 AC exactly.
Oh man.
Yeah.
He's so excited.
You kill my monsters, I kill you. All right. Let's talk about damage. Damage is going to be 9 points. Just fangs going to Della's skin.
All right. Give me the worst part.
I smell a fortitude save coming.
I call it the best part. Roll a fortitude save.
26.
You son of a bitch, you're all right. Okay. Ingrahild and Umlo, having just dragged their poor horses through the mud to get here. It's going to be Ingrahild first, and she is going to draw her bow and take one shot. Hits with a 19.
Yeah.
I always think that's going to crit, but it doesn't. And she does 7 points of damage. Not bad for old Ingra. And then, unfortunately, Umlo, he does not have any ranged action, so he draws his hand axe and his other hand axe as part of a move action and begins making his way over there. Round 2. I just want to know if my poor giant Black Widow spider is going to survive this round.
Doubt it.
Hopefully poison someone. Nestor.
All right, well, unfortunately, I don't have an opportunity to stealth or anything so that I can still do my sneak attack damage. But Nestor will take a swift action to study the target. And as I was telling you before we started recording, because Nestor's archetype is that of a Sarni executioner, he ordinarily gets a +2 bonus to hit and damage on a studied target. But if it's a non-humanoid creature, it's only +1 to hit and damage. And I believe spiders are classified as not humanoid.
Correct.
So Nestor's going to take a 5-foot step to get a clearer shot. And
hopefully hit Della.
Hopefully hit Della.
That'll do wonders
if
for the
Troy
relationship.
If Troy has anything to say about it.
That's 29.
29 hits.
Okay. And
Della, Matthew was like, his posture went up.
Don't hit me with the electric bow. 12 damage.
Ooh.
12.
All right.
And
you took the -4 from melee, right?
No, I precise shot.
Oh, precise shot?
Yeah.
This character is going to murder!
Second shot.
It is what he is.
20.
20 hits.
18 damage.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Wow. All right, Della, this thing is in your face, and Nestor just...
Swift action, Keen the Scimitar.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard this song before. Shocking Grasp, Spell Strike, Spell Combat.
Yeah, I'm just going to go take a walk. Let me know.
So I got to roll the cast defensively. Made it.
Yes.
And now I rolled. And now I rolled a hit. 16 to hit.
Hits.
Oh, yes.
Oh, man.
Big old yes. target.
This thing is dead, dead, dead.
And that's 86 damage. So let me just roll that. That's 29 damage. How's your spider looking?
It's dead.
Yeah!
Oh, God. Didn't even make it past 2 characters.
Woo!
Whoa, man, Baron, when was the last time you didn't even get a shot at the boss, the mini boss?
Oh, the boss itself. Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while.
And it's good though. But Baron saved bullets. Save bullets, save money. Yeah. wow. All right.
Holy moly.
So Nestor comes up and he's like, that was lovely. Oh my, what'd you do like the old sword? You cut right through it. He's like, boom. Without like, it's like my old bow, you know, he's got the electricity like going out. Oh, that was lovely. My God. Oh, that had to hurt.
It doesn't escape my notice that you tried to shoot right when I was just 5 feet away from
the
spider.
Oh, no. It's all under control, love. don't you worry. No, I've got all under control. All part of the plan.
Willamette is going to trot up. Is anyone harmed? Della, were you poisoned by the bite?
I'm all right.
I can rest easy. Lexington, don't worry.
Della's fine. he was concerned.
Della gives Lexington a nod.
All right.
Yes. Peanut butter. you know, I mistakenly said last week that the clenched fist symbolized Torag. Obviously, the hammer symbolizes Torag. I thought maybe the clenched fist was like another, you know, symbolic...
symbol?
Symbol. another symbolic Jesus. Symbol. what it does signify, and glad to tell you now, is very clear.
Black power.
Black power. that this is clearly the tomb of a fallen dwarf.
Oh, ooh. Wow.
Might it be someone with a steel hand?
Perhaps.
Bottle cap. No, bottle cap? No, I'm not going to do it.
So, standing before you, 100-foot tall, what is it, about 25 feet wide, spire covered in dwarven runes and a symbol of a clenched fist. For this is most likely the tomb of Nargrim Steelhand.
Can I get close enough to read it? The runes.
Sure.
And I say, Umlo Ingrahild, come on up with me and help me read your ancestor's tomb, or what I hope is.
You, all three of you, come up, and Umlo and Ingrahild are just wide-eyed. They have only heard about this, and this is something that all dwarves, certainly dwarves of Janderhof, would have known about. Everyone knew about the famed Giant Slayer from 700 years ago. People have always heard the legends, didn't know it was true, and they're kin to him. So for them, this is huge. And sure enough, the runes spell out a traditional dwarven prayer called Torag's Epicede, and it's a funerary prayer. What the tent of logs and webs above it was. It's very deliberate, but that is not part of the original structure, obviously.
I say, the logs and wood around here look like shoddy craftsmanship, not something a dwarf would have made. What could its purpose be?
Looks like somebody's squatting, mate.
Umlo says, perhaps these Ettercaps built this, but this seems too complicated. Look at this. This is very deliberate.
Can I do a knowledge engineering to get some insight as to the purpose of it?
Sure.
15.
It looks like a shrine.
Can I do a knowledge religion to see what it might be a shrine to?
Sure.
Thanks to my bardic knowledge, I can roll it untrained.
Mm. Oh, nice.
Natural one.
Wait, let me handle this.
Clearly untrained.
Is there something about it that's beyond the obvious, that's, what's the word I'm looking for? Just disgraceful, like to the religious nature of what's happening here?
Is it defiling this place?
Yeah, is it defiling?
That's what
Is that where the evil is coming from?
That's what Ingrahild was about to say, like, this isn't right. This is a tomb to our ancestor, and who or what has come and done this? We must tear it down.
I say, Nargrimmikins, please allow one of the Red Hearts to assist you in taking down this edifice.
Good, can you find me one?
She has no idea.
If only we could find a Red Heart.
Too soon?
She has no idea. So I take my Dwarven War Axe out from my back, and I... nod at Ingrahild and Umlo, and
she say, pulls hers up.
Let's chop this bitch down.
Yeah, Willamette's helping.
Della assists with a flaming scimitar.
You know, it's a little complicated. There's logs and stuff.
Smokey the Bear comes out and looks at you angrily.
You know, if you know the tomb is, you know, centuries old, the shrine, as you're chopping it down, looks generations old.
Huh. Mm.
Hmm.
So,
I'm sure they're gonna be really happy to find out what we've done. Can I do a knowledge local on the Ettercaps to like know if there's like a religion or something around spider people, spider freaks or something like that?
Yeah, you can roll knowledge local.
I'm gonna do the same thing.
I'll join you. 11, 19.
30,
natural 20.
Natural 20, 30 for Nestor.
24 for Willamette.
So it's 28 for.
So Nestor certainly, and you can roll the 24, Willamette. Nestor, Della. well, maybe to a little bit. Like, you don't think there's a religion related to Edercaps. It's not like they belong to a cult. But you have heard of religions that worship vermin. So it would not seem altogether strange for this to all be tied up in that. But
maybe. Can I do a knowledge religion to see if I can name that religion?
One of you can.
Correct. Ah, ugh, 11.
No.
Don't know the name of it. So sorry.
Well, it seems to make sense from where I'm sitting that maybe there's some sort of a cult that worships this vermin god, wherever it is, and it's attracting these spiders and etacaps. Does that sound reasonable?
It does, yes.
Yes.
By the way, while they're all working, Nestor is just like sitting on a rock eating an apple.
And do we get it done?
Yeah, it takes an hour and a half. And so Baron's dex damage is not healed.
Once it's done, Willamette is going to ask if the dwarves mind if he says a prayer over the front of the edifice to consecrate.
Oh God, here we go.
Yes, but please do it in Yomadai's name.
Please, yes.
Yes, please.
Yeah, so Willamette does a brief consecration. And sort of touches the runes and tries to dispel any of the evil that was infecting the area.
I should say as well, as a follower of Toreg, I like that you follow Yomadai, but I do think that your other god who's devoted to beauty...
Shaylin.
I think Shaylin's silly and like unnecessary. Like, as a dwarf.
I think you're silly and unnecessary.
Okay, so you guys take away the desecration, and what lies before you is an archway leading directly into the obelisk.
Shall we?
Yep. And I turn to the other dwarves and I say, keep your eye out for any secret stone entrances. We should all be given a free opportunity to look for secret doors three times over from the dungeon master.
So you guys walk in. It's a 5-foot wide hallway. Talk to me about party order.
I'm okay with Nestor leading.
I'll lead just to search for traps.
I'd like to put Willamette right behind just because... he likes to charge into battle.
Okay, so
Della will be behind one of them. I think the dwarves should probably come after Willamette then. All right. Just dwarviness.
Mr. Willamette. I've got Baron in the rear right now. The interior of the obelisk houses a flight of narrow and precariously steep stairs descending into a dark shaft that plummets to an unknown depth within the earth. The passing years have crusted the walls and stairs with overlapping rings of yellow and pale green lichen. All the walls are covered with a thick, odd lichen. It's very treacherous going down these steps. Going down the steps is difficult terrain. And Willamette, as you bring Lexington up to the edge, you realize you're not going to be able to get Lexington down these stairs.
What?
Did I stutter?
He's a wolf. He'd be better than any two-legged person going down the stairs.
Down the stairs with Lexington?
Absolutely.
And claws?
Yeah. He's a four-legged creature.
Okay.
I mean, is it a 4-foot drop between every step, or is it just stairs?
It's stairs, but it's steep.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Okay.
Don't you worry.
I don't know, man. I've never seen a dog go downstairs. I don't think they could do it.
And I don't think wolves live outside.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Remember, this is the last episode we had Lexington. Fucking magical wolf.
You'd be surprised.
Yes, these steep stairs are considered difficult terrain. It's going to increase any acrobatics, the DCs of any acrobatics checks you want to try and do. The stupid wolf can go down the stairs, but your horses can't.
We leave the horses out front.
Joe broke the game. I love it.
It's dark. If you don't have dark vision, you're going to need a solution. Lichen covering the walls of a very thin single file shaft leading down.
I want to do perception checks for traps. I mean, every 10 feet. I don't know if you want me to actually roll that or...
No, just if you're leading the way, roll, you know, every twice on the stairwell if you're going down.
Okay. Do you have dark vision?
No, I don't.
Della says, coin, come here.
Oh, all right. What you got in mind?
Shut up. And she casts light on your bow.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Those and, two will never get along. No.
Yeah, and I go back. All right. 25.
25. You don't detect any traps. You just feel very claustrophobic, but you don't see any evidence of any traps. It's not like the floral blooms in the Vault of Thorns. This, like, it's not going to come off the walls and jump at you. There's no like tripwire or anything that you can see. It's just darkness and a very claustrophobic feeling.
Okay. Well, holding my bow out in front, I continue down the staircase.
Okay, and after about 40 feet, you reach a landing. It switchbacks and continues downward. Let's talk about the rest of the party. We'll go right in order. So Willamette and Lexington.
What? What are we
you
doing?
Do? Are you following Nestor straight along? Are you doing anything?
Yes, I'm following Nestor straight along, and I'm speaking soothingly to Lexington because he's getting a little nervous descending into this darkness. But he is, you know, the light of Yomadai will guide us, Lexington. Fear not. And he keeps pushing slowly down the stairs, and he's just trying to maintain awareness of any kind of danger, but he's not very good at that.
Next up is Ingrihold and Umlo. Come down, and they're just in awe of finally finding this tomb, and they're touching the walls and just going down slowly, cautiously. You don't feel worried anymore about Ingrihold going AWOL now that Umlo's there. She is game ready and excited. And Umlo, for his part, you feel very confident in having another hardy dwarf in your party, and he is stoically descending the stairs. Next up is Della.
Della has dark vision, so can she perceive, you know, beyond the party as she comes down the stairs to see what she can see down?
Well, you've already cast light on Nestor, that's so true. If you're following along, you're seeing the same thing that Nestor's seeing, just this green lichen dark hallway that you can see lit up. Maybe some webbing.
Della has her whip out, by the way.
Okay.
And, yeah, she just follows.
Just slowly follows. Baron.
Baron is looking, one, for any other runic carvings that go along. He is looking for secret doors, and he is seeing to see if there are any tracks that he can see.
Roll a perception check.
22.
You don't really see tracks, per se, but you do notice that the lichen has grown over the walls, and it looks like it's covering dwarven runes.
I scrape off the lichen.
Start scraping off the lichen, and you see an epitaph written in dwarven. So if you continue along doing it, and Ingrihold Numlo maybe join you in it, it reveals the following. It says, you know, along the shaft of the wall as you're going down, "Here lies the pride of our clan, Nargrim, son of Torgrim, called Steelhand. He was laid to rest with utmost honor in 4076 AR. May he be known forevermore, may he be known forevermore as the Giant Slayer."
That's awesome. And this would be like 700 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Close to 700.
Wow.
Titular. You got that right in there. I don't let the whole party know, but I let Ingrihild and Umlo. I'd say it in Dwarvish. They're ahead of me, so as I'm uncovering it, I let them know, this is it. We're here.
Umlo's like, the runes continue. As we move further, let's rub the runes and find out what else it says.
And then, you guys reach the first landing. Nestor turns and descends further, checking for traps. Roll perception.
25.
You don't see any traps, but from Della's light, shining off your bow, you do notice that at this point the shaft begins to fill with wisps of webs populated by a lot of numerous hairy brown spiders. Just kind of...
I turn back with there's an awful lot... I hope none of you are arachnophobic, because there seems to be a lot of spiders down here.
Anybody have knowledge of nature?
Yeah. 10.
Okay. What you would know is that it's more... These spiders are more unnerving than anything else, but they're most likely mundane and harmless.
I assure Willamette, who just gave a shudder at the spiders.
I'm fine.
Are you afraid of spiders?
No, of course not. Are you kidding me?
It's okay if you are.
Look at my armor.
These are so little, mate. Look at them.
Oh dear God!
A grab one.
Probably so. It's almost adorable.
Don't touch it. Oh.
Don't panic. Let it go.
All right. So you guys keep continuing downward, and Umlo and Ingrahild are clearing out the runes now that Baron has discovered that they were. Excuse me. Clearing out the lichen now that Baron has discovered that they're covering runes. And the general sense is that it describes Nargrim's life.
Wow.
And his deeds.
This is incredible. This is a really cool thing to find.
Yeah.
This is
so
cool.
I'm surprised that we found it so early. So quick. Yeah, so early. Yeah.
Also, sorry, before, is the obelisk hollow going up, or is it solid? Like, is there a...
It looks like it's hollow for maybe 20, 25 feet, and then it's solid stone.
Okay.
Yeah, right. There's no... upstairs.
Okay.
So we're descending down, though, right?
You are descending.
Yeah,
down.
I was just curious.
Yeah, down into a tomb. So the runes describe his life, various great deeds that he did in pretty intricate detail, and the tale that it's telling expounds upon his magical hand.
Banger.
Which allowed him to heft the tremendous weapons of his hated enemies.
Oh, cool. He's like that's like the Titan Mauler class that can use giant weapons.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Was
cool.
Able with his magical hand, as the story tells. You're just reading this
with his red right hand.
Heft giant weapons, large weapons.
That's cool.
It also talks about his enchanted coat of mail, which was fashioned entirely from the fingernails of slain giants.
Oh,
wow.
This guy is
disgusting, but also really cool.
A bad motherfucker, man.
Holy shit. Says it right there on his wallet.
Yeah, he's talking about the chef.
Eventually, though, as you start to near the next landing...
Grant finally got it.
He's talking about his chef. Eventually, as you guys are nearing the second landing, which is still continuing downward, you come to a section in the epitaph called The Tragic Fall of Steelhand, which details his betrayal and murder at the hands of one of his kinsmen.
Oh,
what? Wow. Lochmore Edergun.
Whoa.
Whoa. That's the most Scottish-sounding name I've heard in a while. Lochmore
Edergun. Please write that down, Matthew.
And evidently... Lochmore was kinsman to Nargrim. They were out adventuring together. Pretty common, you would take your kinsman with you. And Nargrim killed a famous fire giant that had been plaguing the dwarves for a long, long time. It was a big deal.
Wow.
It was a fire giant called Gundaroth. He was known as Dwarf Skinner by the locals. And fucking Nargrim killed him.
Ooh, wow. Fire giants are big, too.
Yeah. Single-handedly killed him with his steel hand and his large weapons.
Yeah, way bigger than anything that we've fought yet.
Yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
Definitely, yeah.
Lochmore, jealous of Nargrim's glory, killed Nargrim, came back to town, and blamed it on the fire giant and took credit for killing the fire giant himself.
Et tu, Lochmore?
Real real piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A priestess in their clan found out something isn't right about Lockmore's story. She was the wise one. And so she challenged Lockmore on it. He killed her, too.
Whoa.
To cover it up. Tell one lie leads to another. And then they found out what he had done, as he was just, you know, too many mistakes, still trying to cover up.
He's talking to somebody that was on a wire.
Right. Yeah. In a bar, just bragging. So this, I killed my friend and a priest.
This
are you wearing a wire?
This was all in Yonderhof?
This was all in Yonderhof, okay. Yeah.
Wow. And he went into that hallowed place and killed a priest.
Killed a priest, yeah. Oh, after killing, like, the guy who saved.
Oh, my
God. Guy who killed Dwarf Skinner.
Wow.
So the ruling council of Janderhof branded his forehead with the mark of the betrayer. Struck his family name from the Dwarven histories.
Book of Grudges.
And mm-hmm. sentenced Lockmore to be trapped alive in the tomb of the hero he had murdered.
Oh, wow.
This sounds like some lit shit.
I wonder who we're going to find at the end of this little dungeon
this
crawl.
This is like Tam and Varys all over again. In Seriously. A different. This is awesome.
The only difference being, this was centuries ago.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
Tam and Varys was generations ago.
A couple generations.
Do
we know what, from these inscriptions, what Lockmore's preferred method of combat was?
No, you don't.
Class
know.
Or I mean, anything like was, that?
No, he was.
Bastard. That was like class.
Fighter,
yeah. Yeah, okay.
I'm assuming, by the way, that Lockmore Evergun is not spelled like the words Lockmore Ever and Gun, right?
No, it's Edergun. Eder. G-U-N.
Edergun.
L-O-K-M-O-R-R. E-D-E-R-G-U-N.
Oh, really? I thought it was going to be L-O-C-H.
80 feet down into the shaft, you reach another landing. And now the webs are becoming really thick. And the tiny spiders, these harmless brown spiders, are becoming increasingly active. And when you turn to go down this next flight of stairs descending, it's super thick with webs. You can push through it, but it's not like I cleared out that section. You're moving like moving through a jungle, except it's webs.
What is the prevailing wisdom behind setting the webs on fire, like we did once on the Chelish Devil?
I was just going to ask this question.
I mean, there are risks, but
there could be really good stuff down there too, or something flammable. There could be a bunch of, I don't know.
I mean, there could be something...
Wildfire down there?
You're
there
also,
could be something holy. There could be
and
holy
also
symbols.
And you're surrounded by webs as well. So if the fire spreads too quickly...
Yeah. Well, we'd have to go
you
back.
You'd get trapped in a burning shaft.
Yeah.
Let's not do that.
So Nestor is at the next landing, looking down.
Just still looking down at more steps.
Still looking down at more steps. So you've now descended 80 feet below the earth.
Another perception check for Nestor. 18.
18. Can't see more than 3 or 4 feet in front of you, but you don't see anything different, like, oh, it's tripwire, or something's going to fall out of the sky. It's just webs.
Hmm.
And I can't look over the edge to see how far down we're going to go, right? Like, there's walls and webs on either side of us?
Yeah. You guys came down 40 feet. Turned, came another 40 feet, so you would assume if this is dwarven construction that it's probably going to go another 40 feet down and then maybe continue downward, or maybe you've reached the bottom. You're not sure.
Let's keep going. Willem's fine with continuing down behind Nestor.
I'll keep pushing forward.
And upon hearing this whole story, he's getting really upset and kind of fired up at the idea of, you know, of this guy or even his presence being down here, that presence of the betrayer of somebody that kills someone in his own family. To Willamette, family is extremely important,
Kinslayer.
And it has been for generations. And, you know, that's kind of... He was raised that, like, that's who, you know, you look out for your family.
He was raised not to kill his family.
Yeah.
what are you
good family.
Yeah, so he's just like, this guy's got to go if he hasn't gone already.
Well, Nestor's definitely intrigued by the... The thought of these powerful sounding out artifacts down below.
Della is definitely suspicious of Nestor.
Oh, no, love.
Not your love.
Oh, you can't
choose who you love.
Oh my god, this is my new favorite interplay. The rapport.
So does Nestor begin his descent?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So Nestor heads down, followed by Willamette on Lexington. Umlo and Ingrihole, eyes as wide as can be. And Baron, you know, gun drawn, kind of just looking all around. And I would think Baron, you know, even though this isn't your ancestor, you understand the solemnity of this. You thought recently, like, man, if I die, who's going to bury me? Who's going to remember me?
Right.
I don't even know who my family is.
Right.
And now you see what a tomb really looks like for a dwarven hero. What's it going to take for Baron to be treated with the same respect?
Well, and there's also
surrounded by spiders, accompanied by the man who murdered him.
What a
beautiful fate.
There's also that sword cuts two ways. There's also the danger in becoming that powerful and having people that would bury you to have someone that would betray you. So, you know, right. You're never safe. Nobody what a cruel likes. World Galarian is.
Nobody likes the guy on top.
Ooh.
As you guys are heading down, I mean, the webs are so thick, Della can't see Willamette.
Oh, wow.
You know, Umlo can't see Della. It's pretty thick. You can't see anything in front of you. And you guys, Nestor's parting the way, but right after Nestor parts it and it comes to Willamette, Willamette's got to move it with his sword as well. It's super, super thick. And all of a sudden, as you start to near the bottom, Nestor, you see a landing and a door. Like some sort of mean, like you've reached the bottom of the shaft. And maybe you call back like to them and say, I see it. And all of a sudden, the webs start to move. Mm. The webs start to move, and they feel like they're getting tighter and tighter and tighter, and they begin to try and entrap every single one of you
wrap
around you like a cocoon. Roll a fortitude save and roll for initiative.
All of these.
Fortitude, not reflex.
Yeah.
Ooh, I really should have seen this coming.
Fortitude's going to be my green dice. Initiative's on my.
Oh, yes!
That's the perfect order.
Natural 20 on the fortitude save and a 2 initiative.
All right, let's talk fortitude saves. I'm going to go around the room. Della.
28.
Baron.
26.
Nestor.
19.
Willamette.
29.
None of you are entrapped in the What about Umlo and Ingrihild? Ingrihild, trapped.
Oh.
12. Oh, 4. So that both of the other dwarfs are trapped.
See, I don't know why you don't like bringing the NPCs along. They just give you people to do your nasty effects to.
That's true. I'm going to lay them on their side because what makes them extra complicated is now technically the party is split.
Right.
Because Della and Baron are separated from Nestor and Willamette as Umlo and Ingrihild are all in these webs.
Locked up.
What you then see are coming out of the webs 2 more Ettercaps, except they don't look like the Ettercaps you saw outside. They look stronger, meaner. I was going to say penises dangling.
That's bigger, bigger genitals.
Bigger genitals. And they are just, they're crawling through the web at you in the sort of
creepy
of the shaft.
So creepy.
There is some sort of vermin, spidery thing also crawling through. And in the back, you can see the faint shape of something coming through. It looks like a dwarf, but like a female, but it has arachnid arms and eyes. You can't quite see what it looks like.
Oh,
that's disgusting.
Tell me about initiative.
Oh my god.
It's Kerrigan from StarCraft.
Who rolled over 20?
Grant did. Baron did.
What'd you roll, Baron?
Baron rolled a 27.
27 for Barone. Nobody else over 20.
I'm not even close.
Oh, no! Yeah,
I rolled a 2 on the die.
A 2 on the die. All right, Della, what's your actual...
9.
9. And Willamette?
3.
boy. And Nestor?
15.
15. What's your modifier?
Plus 9.
All right, Nestor.
That's pretty good.
It's not bad. Could be worse.
Yeah, as initiatives go.
As initiatives go, could be worse.
Well, you rolled a 3. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
It's all right, because
I'm not so fleet of foot is Willamette.
It's okay, because probably these things with 8 legs are not going to be that dexterous.
No, man.
So just to give you a mechanical idea of what's happened, Ingrahild and Umlo are entangled. If they fail their fortitude safe again, they're completely helpless.
Question for you.
Yes.
Did Lexington have to make a fortitude save?
Lexington absolutely had to make a fortitude save. Thank you, Baron. If you want to bring that stupid wolf down there.
I'll take a bottle cap for spiting my fellow player.
Zero.
22.
Damn it!
Ah.
God!
Oof, glad that worked out.
Take that, Troy.
That would have been great!
Curse your fortitudinous wolf!
Round one in the shaft. Baron.
Baron turns towards the Ettercap, skittering his way, genitals a dangling, and says, I'm going to shoot that right off you, boy.
Please don't.
And he's going to shoot at him. 17 to hit. Touch AC.
Touch AC, that is a hit.
Yes. Seventeen points of damage.
Nice job.
Second of three attacks. Natural 20.
Oh, baby! Roll to confirm.
Oh.
16 against touch AC.
That's confirmed.
Oh yeah! Nice.
Oh, let me fish out a card for you, my son.
I inflict an infection upon this spider person, the same way they want to do it on us. Double damage and target contracts filth fever. Fortitude negates.
Oh, roll it in the gut.
All right, roll quadruple damage, right? Is double quadruple or is triple quadruple?
Double is quadruple.
Yeah, double is quadruple.
For the gun.
That is 48 points of damage.
Oh.
Don't worry about the filth fever.
The least of its concerns.
Blood, guts, arachnid arms, and everything. Just all over the web, and it's all stuck in pieces of the web. Damn.
Oh, wow.
My final shot is I'm too far away from the spider, or the spider-looking thing, to resolve. Yeah, so I'm going to keep those in the chamber. But, no, I'm not going to do anything fancy.
All right, fancy pants.
I'm going. Can I move any closer to get in position to help the two dwarves that are? Or I'm stuck behind.
It's really a sticky situation, as it were. So no, you're trapped up there. You don't have enough movement speed to get through and not occupy a space that someone else has already occupied.
So I'm going to reload one of my barrels with a normal paper alchemical cartridge. The other one I'm going to fill up with a flare cartridge.
Okay. And those are just free actions?
Yep, because of my defeats.
All right, so whatever's going on in the back here, this creature, you can see it just starts chanting and moving its arms.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
And oh, now, can I see that creature?
You can't get a... Because of the webs, you can't get a clear view of its face, but it looks like a dwarf. And it is Nestor's turn. Body of a dwarf.
So I'm going to take... and actually, I have a song that I composed. I was inspired by all of Nick's work. And it's like an acoustic version. I don't know if you guys want to let me do it, but it applies in this situation.
I would love it.
And I hope to collaborate with Nick in the future to do an actual studio version, but here it is. So it's called Flat-Footed. So I'm flat-footed, check it and see. I've got a penalty to my AC. I haven't acted, so I can't use my dex. I'm flat-footed, flat-footed. Bow, ba-da-now, bow. I see what you have in mind. Attacking me from behind. Do you get stealth damage, too? That's it.
That was incredible. Everybody, round of applause.
I have literally been sitting on that for 3 months. But, like the old song goes, they are flat-footed, and so I get my sneak attack bonus. I'm going to do deadly aim, and I'm going to take a swift action to study the target.
Which one are you going at? Are you going after
the Ettercap.
The Ettercap.
And so I'm going to study him, and so I will attack with a bow, and that is, oh god, that is a 17. No. 18 to hit.
18 hits.
Bloody hell, yeah. So...
we need an electricity sound, Joe.
29 damage.
29 damage. All right.
And again, I fire. Oh, that's a hit. Nice. 21 more points of damage.
And the other Ettercap is dead. Man, I didn't get to attack with any of these Ettercaps, and these were advanced Ettercaps.
Oh, man.
At least I have so many fun things I can do. God, he's dead. Well, it was their turn. So now it's Ingrahild and Umlo. They are going to try and escape Artis. Ingrahild, 19. Ingrahild escapes. And Umlo does not escape. All right, so Ingrahild spends her round trying to get out. Umlo, still trapped in there. And it is Della's turn.
Now, what can I see of this creature in the back? I see it is shaped like a dwarf, but has...
Shaped like a dwarf. Looks like it has arms and spider legs growing out of it. It looks like it's covered with spiders. It has natty hair. It's a female dwarf with spider features.
Can I get close to it?
No, because it's like in the crook of where the shaft meets the ceiling, as far away from you as possible. Not right. Ceiling, but like the ceiling that's made by the other shaft that you just came down.
No, just so I'm clear, there's nowhere we can move, correct? We can't move to the left or the right.
Right, you're just going downstairs and the...
And to our left is just such thick webbing and open space.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can move forward if you have enough movement speed to not end in someone else's space.
Okay.
So we're, like, attacking up into the air, then.
Right, into the shaft, but these creatures are all able to move around the webs seamlessly.
Della kind of wants to burn this web down.
Guys, please drink every time you hear one of us say shaft. Thank you.
Della kind of wants to burn this web down. I mean, I think if we've heard the mumbling, we hear casting.
You do you.
I'm not making eye contact.
We are engulfed in webs.
Oh, no.
The fire would also, in turn, engulf us.
Okay, Della will magic missile.
Good.
All right, what are you aiming for? The spider or the creature that you cannot see?
Well, I can see that it's there.
Right, well, I'm asking one. Which one you're aiming.
That okay. One.
Perfect, go for it.
9 points of damage.
There you go.
9 points of damage.
And does she have to roll a concentration check?
She does.
Oh, nicely done.
And a wasted natty 19. The spider vermin, the giant spider vermin thing that's coming up, crawls up to, I guess that would be Willamette.
I guess it would be.
The one right there. And it attempts to bite you, so just bite. 22.
Miss.
Get out of here.
Whoa.
Right off my shield,
you got
baby.
A shield.
Oh, my God.
He's an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So just, yeah, cling, broom, walks nice. In with his shield. All right, and it is Willamette's turn.
All right, Willamette is going to knock it away and then turn to Nestor, and then he's got, Ingrahild behind him.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to say, "We're sitting ducks on these stairs. We must move quickly toward the door." He will execute an ability that he has, a Paladin Divine Defender ability, where he will use a use of his Lay on Hands to increase all three of our ACs by one.
Oh, cool.
So Ingrahild's AC goes up one, his AC goes up one, and Nestor's AC goes up one.
Sweet.
For three rounds.
Wow.
Awesome.
Everyone?
No, just anyone adjacent to me.
What is the name of the ability?
Shared Defense.
Ah.
That's cool.
So
cool.
Ingrahild and Nestor. And yourself.
Yes.
Wow.
Plus one AC. Cool.
Shared defense.
Nestor, does it tingle at all? Does it burn a little bit to have that holy energy going through you?
No, I like it. I like it. It's fueling me.
In front of Nestor, a swarm of spiders appears.
Oh, shit.
And just moves onto Nestor's spot.
Oh, no.
Roll a fortitude save.
Oh, no. Nine.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
4 points of damage.
Oh.
And
somehow I suspect that's not the worst of it.
2 points of strength damage.
Oh, there we go.
So far.
Oh, jeez.
So a swarm of spiders appears right in front of old Nestor. Just moves right onto his space. When a swarm, the way swarms attack, all they don't actually roll to attack. They just move onto your space, and they do damage, and you roll against the harmful traits.
I think that swarm of spiders has an eye for a Sir Willamette.
It's making its way.
He loves spiders.
It's already... I hate spiders! In the back now, Baron and Della start to get a clearer picture of what this thing looks like. And I'm only going to show Baron and Della what it looks like.
Oh, gross.
That's very pretty.
So that half-dwarf, half-spidery-looking woman with a bunch of eyes coming out of her forehead.
She also has incredible quadriceps.
Well, she works out.
She's got the squats.
She's got to climb up the
squat rack
webs
down there.
All day.
So yeah. Galabras has taken 2 strength damage, and now it is that creature's turn.
Well, who took 2 strength damage?
I'm sorry. Nestor.
Oh, it wasn't me. He said it. It was Galabras lying in his sickbed back in Trinau. It's suddenly weaker.
So I have a mini for her, and she comes up right into Baron and Della's grill and does 5 attacks. Bite, claw, 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 claw. First is going to be a bite on Della. Miss. And then 2 claws apiece. 2 claws on Baron. Claw 1, miss. Claw 2, miss! Claw 3, this one's on Della, 23.
Hit.
Hits Della, not too bad, 5 points of damage. And the final claw misses.
Oh.
5 attacks, 1 hit, and only one of them had the ability to do poison.
That's like the first couple times you used Ingerheld's twin weapon fighting.
Seriously.
It's just like it.
Okay, it is Nestor's turn. You are weakened.
I am. So no more sneak attack. I'm going to just fire a couple of shots into the swarm at my feet.
Okay.
20.
20 hits.
10 damage.
10 damage. You kill the swarm.
Oh, sweet.
And now roll another fortitude save.
Oh, my God. Okay, 21.
21. Okay. The damage remains, but you no longer... The dosage has
run its
course.
All right. And I'm going to fire at the spider creature that's attacking Willamette, and I will incur an attack of opportunity as a result.
Okay, so that thing goes to bite you and misses.
Okay.
Can't roll worth a shit.
It's a slow day for Troy. Yes!
Slow day for old Troy.
17.
Hits.
Yes! And 21 damage.
21 damage. Oh, man, have things changed. All right. Ingrahild uses her full round action to get Umlo free of the entanglement. So now both Umlo and Ingrahild are free, but they can't join into the fray. And it is Della's turn.
Can I do a knowledge check on this creature?
Sure. It's going to be knowledge...
knowledge spider?
Aberration.
Dungeoneering.
Knowledge dungeoneering.
Yeah, dungeoneering, yeah.
15.
Don't know. It's a weird amalgamation.
Della is going to spell combat, spell strike with the Scorpion Whip. You can use it anywhere. I just looked it up. Anywhere within its reach.
Okay.
And I'm going to use Frigid Touch.
And it provokes.
It provokes?
Yes.
Yeah,
using a whip.
It does
in melee range provokes.
Okay. Yep.
All right, so she will attempt to bite you. 18.
Miss.
All right.
Nice.
Okay, so I'm roll concentration. Got it. And now to hit with the whip and frigid touch. Natural 20.
Oh,
please confirm this.
Combat over.
Oh, please confirm this.
It's just, it's not shocking grasp. It's frigid touch, but it could be good.
But
23 to confirm.
It's confirmed.
Yeah! All right. There you go.
So this is
you spell, get your spell crit.
Spell crit and the
regular and crit.
The whip crits.
Yep.
So let me read you what the magic crit is, because it's especially appropriate.
He can't keep it inside. He's already giggling. Listen to him. He's so happy.
Cut off from magic. Normal damage, and target cannot cast spells or use spell-like abilities for 1d4 rounds.
Wow.
Okay, you take 2 damage from the scorpion whip.
Okay.
And now...
He's so happy. This smile. Matthew is not normally this happy.
You're going to take 4d6 damage from cold damage from the frigid touch.
Oh, boy.
16 damage from the frigid touch. Roll.
Yeah, chili.
So the spell causes your hand to glow, blah, blah, blah. Your melee touch attack deals 46 points of cold damage and causes the target to be staggered for one round. If the attack is a critical hit, the target is staggered for 1 minute instead.
Whoa!
So you're staggered for a minute and cannot use spells or spell-like abilities.
Wow. All right.
This might be the best day of my life.
Oh, my God. That's fucking amazing.
So she is spellless, and she, with staggered, she can only take a move or a standard action.
Woo!
Wow. All right. Good round of combat.
Fidel is like...
By Della. All right. The spider vermin creature goes to bite Willamette again. 24.
Is this the top of the round?
Hits.
No.
Hits. All right. Roll a fortitude save.
17.
You're all right. Only 3 points of damage, though, but you guys are very resistant against poison. I spent a lot of time reading about poison, making sure I knew really well about it. Doesn't matter. You're all resistant. And now it is Willamette's turn.
Okay. Willamette is going to raise his longsword and stab into this thing. Right at its eyes. 14 to hit. Is it a miss? I assume.
Yes, yeah.
Right off the natural arm. Oh, no. And a second attack. So he will stab a second time. And he hits. Must. 23.
That hits.
And he does... 4 points of damage with his little sword.
Right through its heart, it dies.
Yeah.
Thanks awesome. To Nestor softening him up for the kill.
So Willamette is like, I'm a hero. He did 4 points of damage.
All that's left is the mother of spiders in the back, who Della has now rendered almost useless. Let's see if she can at least have a couple parting blows. She can't cast spells, and she clearly can't hit with physical attacks. It is Nestor's turn.
Okay, so can I make a 5-foot step? Is this difficult terrain?
It's difficult terrain, yeah. Right, and that's going to be a tough
one. Or not?
I would say no, because she's going to get the bonus for all the people.
Okay,
in front of.
Then I'm going to just move 5 feet so I can get a clear shot and take a single shot.
Is she on the ground?
No, she's like, she crawled down to within here so she could attack Baron and Della.
And so. I'm going to take a swift action to study her. And does she count as humanoid or not?
No, she's an aberration.
She,
oh, but
well, no, but that's not.
Yeah. No, she's not.
She's not. All right.
Yep.
20 to hit.
Did you take the -4?
For what?
Shooting in the melee?
Precise.
Once shot. Again, a precise
okay,
shot.
Precise shot.
Please memorize all of my character's abilities, Troy.
All right, so you said 20. 20 is going to hit.
Okay. And 16 damage.
16 damage. All right.
Willamette sees this arrow come an inch from his ear. Right by.
Ingrahild draws her bow and takes a shot and misses. Umlo... can't get past Della, but he wants to kill this woman because he knows in his heart that she was behind some of this desecration to his ancestor's tomb. But he's trapped. He has no ranged attack, so he wants to like switch positions with Della. He almost wants to grab you, but he doesn't want to hurt you, so he's stuck there.
He could probably throw one of his axes. They're small hand axes, aren't they?
Yeah, you know what? He will. And he misses. Remind him to pick that up later. Baron, you go. Sorry.
Okay, so I can't take a 5-foot step back.
No.
So I'm just going to get daring, and I'm going to provoke attack of opportunity and all take right. two shots at her up close and deadly, deadly end.
And she goes to bite, fumbles on the bite.
Oh.
It is not her day.
Let's see if she's going to confront 19, so no fumble for her.
I'm armor class 20.
Natural 19.
Natural 19.
Yeah, 19.
Got it. First shot. 18. That is a 27 to hit.
27 hits.
Up close and deadly. 19 points of damage.
19 points of damage.
Wow.
Okay.
Second attack. Oh, I have to free action reload because I don't want to use my flare cartridge. Okay. Ooh, 27 to hit.
27 nice. Hits as well.
I didn't say up close and deadly on this one, so I'll give it to you. 17 points of damage.
Nice.
Okay.
Third attack.
She has combat reflexes, so does she get attacks of opportunity for all these attacks?
She should.
But if she's staggered, does that
Yeah, can't she do that when she's staggered?
That gives me a headache even trying.
I don't think it affects it.
All right, so she's going to try and bite again. And 21.
That's a hit.
All right, it's 3 points of damage and roll a fortitude save.
Poison?
Yeah.
19.
All right, you're okay.
You said 4 points of damage?
4 points of damage, yeah. Right.
My last attack.
God, you guys are so powerful.
Ooh, that is...
Oh, a shit.
21.
That'll hit.
21
And
hits.
That was up close and deadly. I took off the last one because I didn't save it for him, but it's for this last attack. That is 21 points of damage.
Oh, my God.
Baron killed her.
There's three bullets to the face.
Three bullets to doom, the face from doom, close range. Doom. Oh, boy.
How you feeling, Troy?
Well,
has anyone taken any damage?
Yes, I took damage.
Well, Nestor's down 2 strength. Mm. Baron's down 1 dex. But, I mean, otherwise, you guys came out pretty damn sweet.
Yeah, I got a little damage by the dart as well, but that was last episode.
Wow, 2 episodes in a row. This new party. Who needs Lork and Galadriel? Am I right? And Gormley, who?
They're just slowing us down.
This is a game changer. All right, so there's nothing on the outer caps of interest. The... spider that was attacking Willamette, you would think is obviously some sort of companion to her.
Mm-hmm.
But she has some stuff on her. You guys want to look?
Lay it on us.
She has a magical amulet.
Ah.
And holly and mistletoe.
Druid. She's a druid.
Exactly.
Holly and mistletoe. Hmm.
Della is careful not to stand under it.
What's that? What's that you got there?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
No, it's like, no, it's a little plant.
You're imagining things.
All right, yeah.
Can I spellcraft the amulet?
Sure.
22.
Amulet of Mighty Fists, +1.
What does that do?
It's like the best thing that a monk could get at an early level. Okay. It just increases your...
unarmed strike. Right?
You know what it is? It's a +1 to attack and damage with unarmed attacks and natural weapons.
Oh, that's cool.
That's cool. That'd be really...
Could you put it on a wolf?
Alternatively, this amulet can grant melee weapons special abilities so long as they can be applied to unarmed attacks.
Oh. Like shivering?
Like shocking grasp?
Mm. No, I think it's like...
It's all monk.
There are certain like monk weapons that function with the same bonuses as unarmed attacks.
We'll have to look.
Nunchucks and stuff like
We've
that.
We've got a lot of things to look up. all right, so you guys want to move forward?
Yes.
There's a door, right?
There is a door.
Let's get to the door.
I am going to check the door for traps. Well, as a rogue.
You don't even have to check it for traps to begin with, because it is not really a door.
So you lied.
It is.
Is it a jar?
It is.
That's good.
Good one, Skid. He didn't hear it.
He's too busy reading to get my awesome joke.
You get to the bottom. The landing is 15 feet by 25 feet wide. As the stairs come down, you see like a disc that is almost, it looks like it's cemented into the wall. And it's blocking entrance into, presumably, the tomb. There are runes written in a circular motion all around the disc, and then three runes right on the disc itself. So that's the first thing Nestor sees. And then when Nestor turns around, you see behind you, in the back end of where the stairs would have turned around to continue going, but they do not, two mummified corpses hung in spider webs.
Oh, wow.
With their mouths and bellies exposed.
Gross. What?
Dwarven runes all around.
Can I follow him?
Sure. And Nestor, you wanted to check for traps.
Yeah. 27.
It doesn't appear to be trapped.
All right. So I step up to look at the corpses.
Okay. It's these, like, they're cocoons, almost. Stomachs and mouths exposed. Do you have knowledge planes?
Della does.
I wonder if anyone here has knowledge planes.
I don't think anyone does, the problem.
All right, moving on.
Yeah, well, maybe next time.
Why don't you do one thing?
19. It's a Boeing 747.
Della, you recognize this, and now it's all starting to add up. As a sign of obedience to the demon lord, Mazmez.
That sounds...
Mazmez. The demon lord of vermin.
Oh.
So it's that they did that they the followers will take mummified corpses and do this as a sign of obedience, or it's the
yes.
Okay. Gross.
And they appear to be female, both of them. Both of the corpses.
I wonder if the arachnid spellcaster druid lady was a like a later version of one of these.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Nestor takes out his short sword and sort of saws away at the cocoon and tries to get what's beneath.
The body just falls limp to the ground, and as does the other one. And they're just exposed. It's so creepy with just web covering. You don't see any other facial features, but it's pretty clearly a woman.
I'll check the bodies.
They don't have anything on them of note.
Can I do a heel check
to see? They're almost, you know, obviously they've been.
Are
mummified.
They human? Are they? They were human?
One appears to be a dwarf, and one appears to be a dwarf with some arachnid features.
Huh.
Not as much as what you just fought, Della and Baron, but like you can tell that there's little tiny arms coming out of it, were coming out of its side. Maybe there's a couple eye sockets extra, whereas the first woman is just a looks like a dwarven woman.
And they're definitely dead.
Definitely dead.
Okay.
And have been dead.
Not dead for 700 years, though.
No.
Okay. What do? We slice them open, stop them from transforming?
Yeah, is it like a butterfly effect? Or are they just going to reawaken or something?
Ingrid Tiger, what is this? Who are they? How did they get into our ancestors' tomb? Perhaps they
they started this worship and that tent that we took down upstairs. Perhaps this was all part of their design. It's very strange. Can any of you speak with them?
Uh-huh.
You mean use a scroll of speak with dead?
Scroll of speak with the dead?
Yes. I believe we may have one.
Since the players weren't smart enough to figure it out on their own, I thought perhaps the help of an NPC.
Never done that.
We did it once. In Merwin's campaign, yeah. Way back in the day.
Whew. I never think of it.
I called to the sand the soul of that guy.
I just never think of it. Wow.
I'm looking up the rules for scrolls because it's not a spell that any of us could cast.
Use magical device apply?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I would roll a use magic device on it?
If your
caster level is lower.
Normally, to cast a spell from a scroll, you must have the scroll spell on your class spell list. Use magic device allows you to use a scroll as if you had that spell on your class list. Mm. The DC is 20 plus the caster level of the spell you're trying to cast.
Boom.
So it would be a 23 use magic DC 23 use magic
device.
That's
pretty rough.
Yeah, so I would need a natural 19.
Oh, I mean, I would need... I would need a natural 18.
I guess I roll it then.
Does the scroll get destroyed if you fail?
If you roll a natural 1, it can backfire, which means it can make you dead.
Right, but like if you tried it and failed, can I try it and after that?
Sure.
Let's try.
It gets used up.
Yeah, will the scroll get used up? I'm sorry.
Scroll mishaps.
Well, that's just if you roll 1.
Oh, so if you fail, you roll a DC 5 wisdom check to avoid a scroll mishap. A natural roll of 1 always fails.
Oh,
man. Yeah, if it fails, a mishap may occur, but the scroll is not destroyed.
Ah, okay, good.
So,
okay, so you want to try it first? You want me to try it first?
You try it first.
All right. I'm going to throw in a bottle cap on this.
All right. Let me see that bottle cap.
Is that the Pathfinder bottle cap?
Yeah, indeed it was.
The official glass cannon bottle cap.
All right, let's see what happens here. Rolling twice. Nope.
Roll 1.
I didn't roll 1.
Wisdom check.
Oh, shit.
What's your wisdom modifier?
0.
Ooh! Gotta roll.
Natural 18.
Oh, okay. There it was. All right, Willamette will give it a shot. He will say a quick prayer and try to read this scroll with a one shot at a natural 19. Natural 19.
Get out of here!
I can see it right there. Holy shit!
The tides have turned. The rolling has changed
Willamette,
forever.
Willamette like, almost gets like startled. And he's like, oh! And like the scroll like lights up, vanishes into the mist.
Wow!
And speak with the dead is successful. I don't even know what it does! Like, does it animate the corpse?
You grant the semblance of life to a corpse.
So just...
You may ask one question per 2 caster levels.
Oh, man. I am not the guy for this job.
So how many questions can you ask? 3?
Per 2 caster levels?
Well, it's whatever the scroll was, right?
No, it's
caster level. Oh, okay. And your caster level is...
4.
4. Oh, so you can ask 2 questions.
2 questions.
And you just see...
It says here, if the dead creature's alignment was different from yours, the corpse gets a will save to resist the spell as if it were alive.
Oh, man. Fuck that.
Okay, good, I was hoping you'd tell
that. Good call.
So you see the webbing around the mouth starts to moisten, and the mouth starts moving up and down.
Oh,
weird. And you can ask 2 questions to this, the one that's just has dwarven features.
Oh, man.
I say we let him do it all on his own. Let's see what happens.
No interference.
No help.
This is the worst. I am the worst at this.
What's your name?
Exactly.
Really?
Are you really the head of the Quickie Mart?
2 questions. Okay. What was the name of that? This is to you, Troy, not to the corpse. What was the name of that guy? Endergun?
Lockmore Edergun.
Lockmore Edergun. I'm going to ask the corpse if, to their knowledge, Lockmore Edergun still lives.
My son, they trapped him in here. Oh,
I pleaded with the council to let me take his place, and they said no, and they cast me out.
It's his mother?
I thought you said these didn't look like they were 700 years old. Oh, wow. That's confusing.
That is very confusing.
Now, you have 10 minutes per level. So, I mean, you...
I'm just going to sit here in silence.
Yeah.
No, it's more
than... One minute.
It takes 10 minutes to cast.
Yeah.
Oh, 10 minutes to cast.
Okay. Wow, that's a long scroll.
Yeah.
You were reading for a while.
That is a long scroll.
I love that the idea of Wilmot, like, dismounted Lexington. Just, suddenly, imagine it happened to be for 10 minutes, this went on, and all of a
praying,
sudden...
Praying, and then all of a sudden...
Yeah. The mouth salivated.
And he's like, oh, my God! And then it's like, you can ask two questions. You're like, I have no idea.
This never works.
Exactly. I'm still looking at this natural 19. All right, what is your son's greatest weakness?
My son, I loved him so much. He had no weakness. My son had no weakness. His only weakness is his cruel heart.
Cool.
Well, shoot for the heart.
And then she just sort of like becomes dead again. Oh, man. I am not the guy for that job. But
I will say we have another scroll of the same thing.
So we go, let's go check out the disc.
Okay. After Willamette's shitty questions, you guys make your way back to the disc. It is, as I mentioned, runes encircling the disc. It looks like it's completely up against the wall. Like there's no... There's no door there, you know what I mean? It's completely abutting the wall. And then there are three runes on the middle of the disc itself.
This is so Skyrim.
Yeah, it is.
There's going to be a Nordic zombie coming out of nowhere with horns on his head. Can Baron or Ingerhild or Umlo read these runes?
You can.
Oh. What did they say when I read them?
Around the door, the runes spell out, rest here until mine sons touch upon thy blessings.
Oh.
And then on the door itself, it says loyalty, duty, strength.
Wow. He was a member of the Air Force. Just kidding. Cool. Can Ingerhild and, I mean, the Nargrimmykins probably want to do something about this.
Yes. And they're followers of Torag. And they say this... loyalty, duty, strength, those each refer to one of Torag's sons. Coles, Trud, and Grundinar. But it has been so long since I studied the histories, I don't remember who was with what. Umlo says, can we just break in? Is there some way you can cast a spell to break this enchantment? I believe this is a riddle of some sort, but I do not know. Brother of Torag, do you remember in your teachings? Without looking at your notes, filthy cheater.
Well, I know that Torag oversees protection. Am I going down the right path now? I'm not sure. This is so outlandish of what I would ever have read about him, his sons.
Can Willamette do a knowledge religion check to know anything about Torag or his sons?
Sure.
See if I can get another natural 19. Natural 3. Damn. A total of 9.
Yeah, Ingerhild just, all she knows is that loyalty, duty, and strength, each of them refers to one of Torag's sons.
Right.
But how, what that knowledge is going to do and who's referred to who, why don't you roll a knowledge religion? Baron, and
untrained.
You get a plus 10.
Oh, great.
Oh, you don't have knowledge religion. Shit.
He's a gunslinger, man.
I do worship Torag, though, so would it make sense in this?
Della can roll it.
I have profession fisherman. What are we talking about?
Natural 19.
Whoa. All right. So Della knows that Grundinar is loyalty, Coles is duty, and Trud is strength.
So what do we just say the names in that order, or place something on the disc? What do you see? Is there anything around here? Is there anything around that is like that you can place on it? Is there anything?
Nothing.
Is the room's empty, bare?
Empty, bare, with the exception of the.
So, what, could you please read again what it said about the order in which they come? The
rest here until mine sons touch upon thy blessings.
So maybe you touch, perhaps you touch a disc. If you are a dwarf, you touch the disc, say the name of the sun with the appropriate loyalty, strength, and the other, and the door will open. Simple.
I just hope that they'd accept me. I'm not a Nargrimmykin. The three of us could do it, but...
Ingrahil walks up to Baron, puts her hand lovingly on your shoulder, and says, we must try. Amlo, join us. Let's each say one of the names.
If you'll have me, I'd be happy to help.
We absolutely will have you. You shall be strength,
and I will be loyalty,
and I will be duty.
And so you each go up, place your hand on the appropriate rune. Loyalty, strength, duty. As each word is said, the runes begin to glow with a bluish light. And then once the final word is said, all three of them take on a bluish white brilliance as the tomb opens. We'll see you next week.
Motherfucker, I want to know. I can't wait.
Oh, God.
I want to go in.
Let's raid this tomb.